X18. All right. So you don't have to follow me when I'm reading that, but on the 18th one, we'll go together. Kataka Daita Kare Skanda Alambana, Kataka Daita Dhare Shri Padma Charana. While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the Daitas took hold of the shoulders of the Lord and some caught his lotus feet. So if you're new here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, I will explain the background of this later on as I read these verses. Kati tati bhada drida stula pati dori dui dike daita gana uthaya taha dari. The Lord Jagannath deity was bound at the waist by a strong, thick rope made of silk. From two sides, the daitas caught hold of this rope and raised the deity. Uchadrida tuli sabha pati stani stani eka tuli hoita twarai ara tulite ani. Strong puffed up cotton buds called tulis were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next by the daitas. Prabhu pada gati tuli hai konda konda tula shabha udi yaya shabda hoya prachanda. While the daitas carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke and the cotton contents floated in the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Vishwambara Jagannathe ke chalaite pare apana ichaya chale karete vihari. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? However, the Lord moves by his personal will just to perform his pastimes. Mahaprabhu manima manima kare dwani nana vadya kola na hale kichu na shuni. While the Lord is transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting manima, manima, but he could not be heard. So Prabhupada's purport to this is a very short purport. The word manima is used to address a respectable person in Orisha. Lord Jagannath was being respectfully addressed by Sri Chaitanya in this way. Text number 15. Tabe pratapa rudra kare apane shevana suvarna marjana lana kare pata samanjana. While the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, it means the cart, the Jagannath cart, King Prataparudra Rudra personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleansing the road with a broom that had a golden handle. Chandana jalite kare patha nishchana chane tuccha seva kare vashi raja simhasane. The king sprinkled the road with sandalwood scented pulp water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. I've personally seen this in Jagannath Puri, where the king arrives. He arrives in a vehicle, traditional vehicle, and then he comes right to the carts, and then he gets the broom and he starts sweeping, basically. So anyone been to Ratiyatras around the world, you see that there will be someone with a broom and they're sweeping. So when the chariots are going, the road is being cleaned. So that's the tradition from here, that the king did that. And it's very important in this purport. Although Uttamahana Rajakare Tuccha Sevana Ataiva Jagannathera Kripara Bhajana. Although the king was the most exalted, respectful person, still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. So we're going to now go on to this one. So if you could repeat after me, please. This is like text 18. Mahaprabhu, Shuka, Poilo, Se Seva, Dekite Mahaprabhura Kripa Hoila Se Seva Hoite. So I'm going to do the first line and then you can repeat that. Mahaprabhu Shuka Paila Se Seva Dekite. Mahaprabhu Shuka Poilo Se Seva Dekite. Mahaprabhu Shuka Poilo Se Seva Dekite. And in the second one, Mahaprabhura Kripa Hoilo Se Seva Hoite. Mahaprabhura Kripa Hoilo Se Seva Hoite. Mahaprabhura Kripa Hoilo Se Seva Hoite. Ladies, it's a tough thing to do that, isn't it? When you're in the audience, you're wondering if I should say it or not. I've never said it in my whole life because I'm embarrassed. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shuka Paila, felt very happy. Se Seva, that kind of service. Dekite, to see. Mahaprabhura, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kripa, mercy. Hoila, there was. Se Seva, Hoite, because of that service. So here's the translation. Upon seeing the king engage in such menial service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or engage in His devotional service. Ata pite deva patambu jatuaya prasada lesanu grihita eva hi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya ekopi chiram vichinvan. Bhagavatam 10:14-29. Only a devotee who has received a small fraction of the mercy of the Lord can understand him. Others may engage in theoretical speculation to understand the Lord, but they cannot know anything about him. Although Maharaj Prataparuja was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord refused to see him. However, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged in menial service for Lord Jagannatha, he became very happy. Thus, the king became eligible to receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If a devotee accepts Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru, and Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he is benefited by the combined mercy of Krishna and Guru. That is stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Rupa Goswami, C.C. Madhya 19.151, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of devotional service fructifies and becomes a transcendental kripa. Finally, it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual sky. The seed is obtained by the mercy of the Lord and the Guru. By the Lord's mercy, one gets the association of a bona fide Guru. And by the mercy of the Guru, one gets a chance to render devotional service. Devotional service, the science of Bhakti Yoga, carries one from this material world to the spiritual world. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuan Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So It's the menial service. Anyone new here? Yes, is your first? Are you on this Bhakt course or Be a Monk challenge? You're new. Anyone else new around here? Well, like been here by a 1 year, within a year? Yes, okay. 2 years? 5? 10? 15? 20? You've been 30, isn't it? And you're 35 or something? So the reason I'm asking is because what attracted the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that the king, so this is a place in Orissa, which is like the eastern part of India, you know, so Calcutta and then below that, below Bengal is Orissa area, and there's a very famous city called Jagannath Puri, and in that city there is a very famous Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, ancient temple, has been there for thousands of years, and it's been worshipped by thousands, if not millions of people all over the world have come there to worship the deity. Incidentally, in 2001, I went there and I tried to go in and the police stopped me. They said, no, you can't come in, you can't come in. So then the pandas, which are like the priests who are in that temple, they came out and they started to speak to me in basically they want to know where I'm from in India. And I can't speak the language to save my life. I can only speak Cockney from East London. So I said Gujarat, you know, because I'm a Gujarati by ancestry. And then he started speaking to me, where in Gujarat are you from? You know, what's your family's name? And I couldn't understand his Hindi, because it was broken type Hindi. It wasn't proper Hindi, because he was from Orissa. And then there was one devotee just screaming at me, why don't you answer his questions? Why don't you answer his questions? And I said, I can't. Basically, I was caught. And the thing is, they have a tradition where if you're born in the West or you're not Indian, you can't go in that temple. That's the tradition. Even to the point where people get beaten up if they get caught. So they caught me just before I was going in. And I was dressed in dhoti and tilak and all that. And that's the reason they figure out I was from the West. If I was dressed in shirt and pants, it wouldn't have worked. They would have just said, oh, he's an Indian. But because I dressed like an ISKCON devotee, they knew I was from the West. So that's the reason. So be careful. I'll never go in there again or try. But the beauty was that 5 years later, in 2006, I went to my first Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. It was a great experience, but a traumatic one at the same time. And I went with my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charles Swami, and it was his first time to the Rath Yatra. He'd never been to the Jagannath Puri one. And 2006. So, you know, in England, wherever you go outside, when you have Rath Yatra, it starts roughly at midday, isn't it? 12 o'clock. You go to Hyde Park, see the big ruts, and everyone's ready to pull the ropes. And then at 12:30, you hear the, you know, beep, someone blows something, shunk, and then everyone starts pulling, and then we all move on time, yes? And it's a three-hour procession. You get to Trafalgar Square, and then the deities get put onto the top area, and we have a good time. So we left our hotel at 6 in the morning. It's like 40-degree heat, and it's getting hotter. And then we arrive at Jagannath Puri, the road is a whole road, massive road, huge. Have you ever been to France, Champs-Élysées, Paris? All right, so it's bigger than that. It's a massive road, right? And so we've seen these huge three carts, and we go to the carts, and my Guru Maharaj is putting his head towards the carts. And incidentally, in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada, when he came to see the carts, he did full dandavats. And he told the devotees, the carts are non-different from the deity. So when you see the Jagannath cart, it's non-different from the deity. So that's you do full dandavats. So then we're standing in the crowd, waiting for the ruts to move. 6:30 in the morning. And then we're seeing thousands of people on the balconies, there's shops parading the whole road, and everyone's sitting there, like thousands of devotees. And we notice that it's Radhanath Swami's party, you know, thousands of devotees are there, and they're all sitting. And we're thinking, what is sitting up there for? Why don't they come to the cards? We're about to leave. Little did I know, we were about to leave at 4 p.m. So from 6:30, I'm standing there looking at the carts, wondering why no one's coming to the ground. Then Radhanath Swami calls my Guru Maharaj over, so he goes and sits down on the balcony, and I'm stranded. And now, this is why I have a phobia of crowds since 2006. Thousands of people start entering the road. Then you see the police, then you see the soldiers, then you see a million people on the street. I've never seen a million people. But if you ever looked at, Washington, D.C., and then you see the Million Man March or something like that, it was like that. So a million people are starting to crowd, and it's getting to 45 degree heat. And I'm from England, so I'm not used to it. And I'm not used to people coming close to me, right? So they're all getting close. And I'm thinking, where am I going to go? Because I'm going to be stranded here. Because I asked someone, what time is this moving? They said 4 p.m. Right. So no wonder everyone's happy in the balcony, just sitting there watching. Then finally, I see some shops, and they say 500 rupees, and you can sit in the shop and be protected. So I only have two 500 rupee notes at that time. I didn't take any debit card in case I get mugged. So I went into the shop, gave them 500 rupees, and I'm just sitting there, and thank God I've got some shelter now, because the crowds are really streaming in, and it's getting so hot that there are people spraying water cannons at the crowd, going around spraying it so that they get cooled, because you can faint, basically. And my Gurbra did faint, because Lord Jagannath, he was pulled out, you know, like they explained, coming from the temple to the cart, and he fainted when he saw Lord Jagannath. But he didn't faint because of ecstasy. He fainted because of the heat. And it was funny because my Guru Maharaj is on the balcony doing kirtan, and he sees him fainting on the floor, and he tells someone, go and save that devotee, he's on the floor. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I wasn't allowed to go in the temple 5 years ago, and now I've got my chance. Lord Jagannath's going to come. And he does come out, and he comes out, and he's so majestic and so beautiful, and they come out on these three carts. And then you think that when they start moving, they're going to start moving, just like in London. But it doesn't work like that. They move and then they stop, and they take a long time. And then they move again. And then you've got all these police surrounding the ropes in case somebody wishes to kill them. So, because that happens too. People just want to die underneath the car and go, you know, let me go back to Godhead. Because it's true, if you pull the ropes, you go back to Godhead, right? It's an automatic ticket. But, you know, it was a wonderful experience, but at the same time, like I said, traumatic, because I'm not used to crowds anymore after experiencing that. But so I can relate to this when they talk about this in this, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going through this ecstasy of dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined, right? And the whole essence of Rath Yatra is that Krishna is being pulled to Vrindavan. So the gopis, Kurukshetra, 5,000 years ago, they go to a place of pilgrimage to do some penance and austerities and prayers, and then they see Krishna, but the Krishna they see is the prince, formality. But they're used to seeing Krishna as a cowherd boy, no formality. So then they try and take him to Vrindavan. And that's the whole point of Rath Yatra. You're pulling Krishna and you're taking him to Vrindavan. So the summary of the chapter, I'll talk about that later, but the essence is menial service. So I looked up the word menial, right? So, you know, English has French in it, at least 25% is French. And it comes from the word mesni, which it means household. But menial service means work not considered important, not needing special skills, often boring or badly paid. No recognition. So that's called menial service. And if you are a devotee who's been told to do some menial service, okay, you may think that, why am I cleaning this? Why am I going to the toilets? Why am I doing this menial service? But please, please bear in mind, this menial service is extremely valuable and extremely attractive to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Extremely. It's like, to you or to anybody else, it may not be attractive. To the common person, it may not be attractive. They may go, oh, what's he doing? What's she doing? But to the Supreme Lord, they are seeing, oh, wow. Just like this king, he's so powerful. He's the head of Jagannath Puri. Yet he comes out and he's cleaning, he's sprinkling the roads, putting, you know, sandalwood scents, and then he's sweeping the roads personally so that when Lord Jagannath comes out, he has a clean road to see. And when he did that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, he's going to have my mercy. And he did get his mercy. He got his mercy in many ways. And I'll speak about that later on. But there is one devotee that I have seen that has done years and years of menial service. Can you come forward, please? Yeah. Can you put this on Prayojana? And that's Prayojana Prabhu. Now, in my time, I've seen many temple commanders since the 90s, and they come and go as quickly as you can take prasadam. But Prayojana Prabhu has done more than 20 years, but I've seen him day in, day out, 19 years of solid, and he wasn't young at that time, he was older than me, and so many years of constant menial devotional service, which devotees don't want to do. Let's be honest, right? Picking up litter, you know, cleaning the pots, cleaning the area for you to take prasadam, then taking the pots back, menial devotional service, cleaning toilets, yeah, when it's really disgusting and filthy and people, you know, don't know how to use it properly, yeah, if you know what I'm talking about, or they were blind when they were using it, but he has to do all of that, and he constantly kept his mouth closed. He didn't shout or scream. Maybe he did, but I wasn't there when he did it. And tolerated devotees who can be really crazy at times and not follow the rules when he's applied these rules of how we should do things systematically, and they don't care. You know what I mean? They're oblivious to the laws of karma and the rules. Have you noticed some devotees who are like that? So he had to persevere and continue until his health, obviously, was challenged. So I've seen that. And he's the person I've seen the most in my whole Krishna conscious career do menial devotional service. So maybe at the end of my talk, you can say a few words about it. But menial devotional service is absolutely purifying to the heart. If you ever washed a pot, or if you ever done anything menial in Krishna consciousness, you will know that you'll get instant cleanliness and satisfaction and pure mindedness. And it's extremely important because we have a false ego, ahankar. We have a false ego. Yeah, we all do, right? Unless you're pure devotee. And that false ego means it's I, me, mine, I'm the master, I'm the controller, I am independent, you know? And so when you do menial service, it's totally the opposite. It's basically realigning our nature to what is our real nature, which is I am the servant. That's why we do menial service. And it doesn't matter if you're the new person who just walked in yesterday or today, or the person who's been around for 100 years in Krishna consciousness. Everyone should be doing menial service. It's not limited to the new bhaktas. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman, Shri Shri Gauranitai. It's not limited, it's not exclusive for new bhaktas. One Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what he did is anyone who joined the temple, he would make them wash pots for 6 months or make them do menial services. And then this big, big person came, I forgot the person's name, and he wanted to inquire and ask questions from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, go and do what they are doing, you know. Before you want to ask your questions, go and wash the pots. Go and do the service. And he's thinking, I'm a big person, I've come here, I want to speak to you, but you're telling me to go and wash. Because, yeah, just do that. And he did it, and he was associating with the devotees, and then he came back and he goes, now all my answers are cleared just by washing those pots. So a lot of realizations will come in your life when you do menial service, because you're realigning our natures directly as Krishna Nitya Das, as the eternal servant. So the next time someone says, Prabhu or Mataji, or can you just do this? And you're thinking, oh my God, man, I have to clean that again. It doesn't matter what they think, what the world thinks, or what you think. It's what Krishna thinks. And that's the most important thing. Krishna is so happy. In Uddhava Gita, in Canto 11 of Uddhava Gita, my spiritual master talks about it. And that's what I remember hearing. He says that in there, Krishna is saying, you should clean my temple. There's one part where Krishna is saying, clean the temple. Why is he saying that? Because that's menial devotional service. It's humbling. If you're proud, you do humble service. In Tripathi temple, sometimes big, big preachers will go out and do big programs and preach. But when they come back, they do menial service to humble themselves. Otherwise, they'll constantly feel puffed up. So my Guru Maharaj said, why don't we get brooms in the temple? And when people come, give them a broom and say, here, clean the temple, because Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam, clean the temple. And in that way, you engage newcomers to clean. So that's a good way of doing it. You know, if somebody new come, okay, one thing you could do is help clean the temple, and then you'll get devotional service credits. Okay, so different types of menial service. There's pot washing, there's cleaning the toilets, washroom, cleansing the temple grounds, taking out the rubbish, cleaning the floors, putting the shoes away. In Vrindavan, if you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir, right, there's a shoewala. That means there's a person who looks after shoes. Hare Krishna, Brahma. Right? So you give your shoes to him, he'll give you a token or he'll give you a ticket number. And he does that all day long. And I hope he doesn't get paid, but if he does, maybe a little amount. But it's menial devotional service, if you think about it. Yeah, constantly just touching people's shoes and putting them away and cleaning the area. So whatever I do, whenever I come to the manor or any temple, if I see something on the floor and if I can pick it up, I'll pick it up and I'll put it away. And then that's something I've done. So if imagine all of you and everybody else is thinking like that in this temple grounds, it will make the temple so clean and spotless. And incidentally, in the spiritual world, they're constantly doing menial service. They're constantly cleaning. Even the gopis are cleaning when it's already cleaned. They're constantly doing this. So it's a spiritual activity which is replicated in the spiritual world, which is done there. The first time I ever did menial service, and I can clearly remember this, because I was a little kid at Bhaktivedanta Manor, maybe under 10 years old. And you know where the shoe room is? And you go around, so you're outside the theatre room. And there was bins, and there were signs in those days which said, please keep Krishna's temple clean. I don't know, they don't have that sign anymore. So there's signs, and I'm with my mum and dad and family, and I see this Coke can on the floor. And I see a bin, and I'm feeling shy to pick up the Coke can in front of my parents and put it in the bin. I'm feeling so shy and apprehensive, and it took me 5 minutes to think about it. It took me 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, should I do this in front of my parents? Maybe they'll tell me off. What are you touching a Coke can for? It's dirty. But I did it. I got the courage and I did it. I put the Coke can and I put it in the basket, and I felt so happy that I did something. And now I look back many years later and I go, oh, that was devotional service. That was my link. That was my connection. That's what brought me back here again. And that's how I came back, because I did some little service. And that happens to anyone. You just do a little service for Krishna, and then you know, it starts the devotional wheel. Okay, that's... How long do we have here? No, oh, that's too long for me. So anyway, this chapter is 209 verses, and it talks about Lord Jagannath. He's coming onto the cart. Talks about the king who's cleaning, right? And then what happens is that Lord Jagannath, he's in charge of the carts. He will move when he wants to move. It's very mystical. So people are still pulling and they can't move him. You know that? They're still pulling and they can't move him until he says, yes, I'm ready to move. So the cart will start, stop. Sometimes it'll go fast. Sometimes it goes slowly. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there and he creates dance parties, right? With Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Vakreshwara Pandit. And he has seven major parties with Madanga players, Kartal players. And in those days, there's no speakerphone or microphones or anything like that. The way to amplify your voice is you get one person in charge of the kirtan, right, who sings. And then he has three or four people with him, and they know the tune that he's going to sing. So he'll sing a certain Hare Krishna, and then they will follow that tune immediately. And there'll be like five people singing at the top of their lungs, voices. And then hundreds of people can hear that, and they will respond. That's how it was a chant and response type of kirtan. So you had seven. Now this is the mystical thing. Because Maharaj Prataparudra did that menial service that pleased Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got the mercy. And one of the merciful things that happened is that he could see Lord Chaitanya appearing seven places simultaneously. He could see him in the seven groups of chanters, and he could see him dancing in seven places. Now in Krishna Leela, Narada Muni could see Krishna 16,108 expansions in every palace, because Krishna could expand himself. So Lord Chaitanya can do the same. So he expanded himself seven times. So Maharaj Prataparudra could see the glories of that. He got the vision to see that. And then Lord Chaitanya is putting his arms in the air and he's saying Jai Jagannath and all glories to Lord Jagannath and Hari Hari, and he's constantly dancing. And then there's circles around him. Now, I don't know if you've seen Prabhupada's movies, images of Prabhupada, footages. When Prabhupada is in Trafalgar Square or Ratyatra, he's circled by the devotees. They're holding their hands to protect him so no one can just come in. And in Vrindavan, 1975, Krishna Balaram Mandir installation, he goes on a walk, and then the sannyasis have got their dandas, and they're all surrounding Prabhupada and creating a ring of protection. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the same. He had three rings, inner circle, outer circle, and then outer circle, where they were protecting him. In this chapter, Lord Chaitanya is quoting that, I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna, who is the love of the gopis. That's where that famous verse, he's singing that. And that's what we are all. We have material designations, which are temporary, according to how we grew up and our qualities. But ultimately, we're the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. Then in this chapter, there's an incident where Srivas Thakur, he's watching the whole Ratyatra, seeing Lord Chaitanya, and he's in ecstasy, but he's blocking the king's vision because the king is behind him. All right, talk about slapping. So the king's personal servant or friend, associate, tells Srivas Thakur, can you move out the way? Because you're blocking the king. And he ignores him. Srivas Thakur ignores him. And he said, move out the way. And he gets so angry, he goes, slap. He slaps the servant. He just slaps him hard. That's what I mean. Talk about physical abuse. Anyway, slaps him hard. And then the king, so the guy is called Harichandra. He gets upset. And then the king says, don't worry, leave him alone. This is Srivas Thakur. So that incident happens. And then as the chariots are going forward, Lord Chaitanya is falling back. He's not moving. He's just in ecstasy, dancing. So then the chariots stand still. So Lord Jagannath won't move until Lord Chaitanya comes back closer. So this is a very mystical experience that happens. Lord Jagannath is waiting for Lord Chaitanya to come. And then Lord Chaitanya, he gets into the mood of Srimati Radharani, which he is in, and he starts remembering Kurukshetra, and he remembers seeing Krishna, and he speaks like Srimati Radharani. He's quoting the verses that are in the Bhagavatam, and he's just remembering, and he wants Krishna to be the cowherd boy and come back to Vrindavan, and all those beautiful things. And then he's quoting what Krishna is saying, giving assurance, yes, I will come, I will come. It's very esoteric. And then he's dancing in ecstasy, he's exhibiting transformation, bodily transformations. And then he falls in front of Maharaj Prataparudra, the person that wants to see him. He falls in front of him. And then Maharaj picks him up and brings him up. And then Lord Chaitanya is shocked to be touched. He said, I'm touched by someone who's attached to mundane affairs. Yeah. So Maharaj gets upset. He's like frightened. Oh my God, what did I do wrong? And all the associates are watching. But it's just an external mood. He's just teaching the associates, don't get too close to those who are, you know, attached to mundane affairs. Even though Maharaj Prataparudra is practically a pure soul, but he's just given a lesson. And then, so then Maharaj Prataparudra does get more mercy. He does get more mercy. And that's the next chapter, which I'm not going to get into because that will spoil it for the next speaker. But in this text 19, there's a very important verse. Brahmanda brahmate kona bhagyavana jiva guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. Right, that is so important. Because we are wandering in this universe. We are wandering. And it could be, you know, if you watch Marvel, multiverses too. There is multiverses. It's not just one universe. Marvel's got it right. But it's not two Spider-Mans or two, you know, Iron Men or, well, you know, it's not like that. Two Hulks. No. There's only one you and that's it. One Jiva. You don't have multiple incarnations in different universes having a different lifestyle. It doesn't work like that. You're unique, I'm unique, everyone's unique. The Lord's unique. Yeah, we're not one. By the way, you know that class you gave the other day on Maiwat? It was amazing. I loved it. Okay, back to this. So we're wandering, and we're suffering, until the point is when we're saying, okay, I need help. And then Krishna within the heart sends the guru. That's how it works. We're not going to see Krishna face to face, except deity form, but you're not going to see him. He's not going to turn up and say, yeah, I'm going to help you. He's not going to do that. He's in the heart. He's the main guru, actually. Chaita Guru is the main person in the heart. He knows exactly what you are thinking and feeling from past lives, present life, future lives. He knows everything. So, Mam Tu Veda Na Kashchana, but nobody knows him. He knows everyone, but nobody knows him. So, he will direct a representative, a person that represents him to you. That's how it works. Yeah, he'll direct. You will see someone that you will feel connected to. You hear that person, you go, okay, that person can guide me, can help me. And it doesn't have to be your Diksha Guru. It could be Siksha Guru. For me, it was Srila Prabhupada. When I was 14, I got Srila Prabhupada's books. As soon as I started reading the books at the age of 15, I said, this is my guru. This is the person I'm going to surrender my life to or try to. You know, this is the acharya for me, this is the teachings. Then you get access to the spiritual master, the teachings. So this is all Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada's teachings. This is Prabhupada's temple. There's Prabhupada. And so what we're doing, we're in Prabhupada's ashram. ISKCON is Prabhupada's ashram. So he's the main spiritual master, the founder acharya. So you're learning from Srila Prabhupada. But at the same time, you need someone to guide. Whether it's Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, it doesn't matter, but you need association. Once I asked my Guru Maharaj, I said, Guru Maharaj, I can see you, I can talk to you, I can ask you any questions, but one day when you're not around, what's going to happen to me? Because he passed away 5 years ago in 2020. So I asked him this question in 2007. I said, what's going to happen? How do I connect? How do I communicate? Because it's like being an orphan when your guru leaves. And he said to me, you need to approach the sadhus. You need to go to the sadhus. I said, do you mean my god brothers? He said, not necessarily. I mean sadhus. Because, the sadhus can guide you. The sadhus will help you. Because what happens in your mind, if you say that I want to go to the pub, he said the pub. If you want to go to the pub one day, what happens? That's why you need to go to the sadhu, because the sadhus will tell you not to go, you know, they will guide you. So it's true. You know, we may think, okay, we have a guru and then one day the guru is no longer present. But that doesn't mean it ends. The guru is within the heart, it can guide, Chaita Guru is there. But then everybody is the guru. The pure soul sees everyone as the guru. He or she is listening for instructions from everyone. In Uddhava Gita, there are so many different gurus that the person is listening to, trying to understand. The guru may speak from his mouth or her mouth, but he can speak from others. Do you understand how it works? They can communicate with you. They can communicate with you inside. They can communicate with you outside. But the verification comes when you go to a bona fide follower. Then whatever you're thinking in the heart, you can go to clarify that. You have the Guru Sastra sadhus, the sastra is there, and an external living Bhagavata, like you said yesterday, living Bhagavata. That is correct. Yeah. And you have Srila Prabhupada's transcendental words. We have a complete connection. And so if you follow this process, it works. I've done it for more than 30 years. It works, right? It's not something take lightly. It works. Isn't it, Prabhu? It works. You, Prabhu, you can vouch. It works. Because if you ever saw me as a kid, you would be shocked to see me now. Right? You could talk to my family members. They were traumatized by me, my brother especially, when I was a kid. Right? If you want to see a miracle, like they say Prophet Muhammad, he couldn't read or write, but he could quote the Quran. Well, this is a miracle. Look at me. I was a really rebellious, crazy kid. An ADHD times by three type of kid, right? I was mad. No one would ever say this person's going to be a police officer, which I am now. But no one would say that. No one would ever say that this one's going to be this devotee of Krishna, you know? You know, he's going to be Satan's best mate, that type of person, right? But how did I turn it around? It's through Prabhupada's teachings, by the association of my Guru Maharaj, by the association of devotees. It takes time. I'm still not there yet. I'm not pure. But I can see that the journey works. What we go through, the purification, it works. I'm not a pure devotee. I can tell you that. I'm least from that. But I'm better than I was when I was 5 or 10. Right? So if you're wondering if this process works, it does. Completely work. And the longer you stick at it, the better it becomes. Yeah? Somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, how long does it take to become a pure devotee in Australia? And Prabhupada said, 1 minute. It can take 1 minute. And then he quotes Sarva Dharman Parichaja, Mami Kam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo, Muksha Ishami Masucha. He actually chastised the disciple. He says, don't you read Bhagavad Gita? What Krishna says? You surrender unto me, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Marsucha. So that's the point. You can become a pure devotee in 1 minute. It's up to you. It's up to your surrender. Yeah, it's up to your surrender. I'm going to stop there. I don't like taking questions, but I'll do it anyway. And I've got Kartik Chandra Prabhu in the back and Govinda Prabhu and a few others and you, Prabhu, to back me up. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Oh yeah, now is your time. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted Dhanu Baladev talking about your Guru Maharaj, and he said that the one thing he knew when he was his Guru Maharaj was when he saw him, and he was showing him how to sweep the stairs, and that's what I remember. And he says I immediately knew he was my Guru. And it was just, it put him in touch. You know, it softened his heart. Yeah.
Okay. Please, can you tell me the benefits of menial service that you've realized?
Well, there's an old saying, you know, cleaned your heart.
Yeah.
And it is an enjoyable experience. And this is like, even now, in the where I'm staying, I spend most of my time cleaning up the salt, you know, which is in the thing. You know, that takes up most of my time. And then I take prasad, you know, so it's like that really for me. I'm a bit compulsive that way. Okay.
You got a question. How can I answer your question?
Thank you for your entertaining class. I liked it. No, it's like just a interesting anecdote in connection with sweeping the cart, the street before the cart. So I was in Mayapur maybe 25 years ago, and Jai Bhattacharya Maharaj, he'd gone to, I don't know the details of which Ratha Yatra, but anyway, there was some big Ratha Yatra in India, and one of the top politicians was present. I think it was like the Minister for Internal Affairs or something. Anyway, big, but maybe the second or third most important person in India. So Jai Bhattacharya Maharaj is there, and he's kind of organizing everything, and he's speaking. He says, and now the Minister for Internal Affairs will sweep the street before the cart, Jagannath's cart. And this minister obviously wasn't a devotee. He declined. He said he didn't want to do it. So then Jai Bhattacharya Maharaj says, and now the minister will sweep the street of India. And of course, being a politician, he has to do it, right? So he sweeps the streets of India, and then the next day on the newspapers, it was like Minister did not want to sweep the street before Jagannath. You know, so
wow.
It was kind of quite amusing, the whole incident.
Thank you. Politicians are still the same. I hate them. Crooked.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class.
Yeah.
So we discussed regarding the uniqueness about ourselves and the Lord. So the deity is also unique, or like how to perceive in that perspective? Because all deities are Krishna's deities, but I have heard somewhere like that even the deities are unique. I mean, so how to comprehend that?
In this material world, our senses cannot see Krishna. We're blind. We cannot hear him, we cannot see him, we're deaf, dumb and blind. We just don't know him. So he's so kind, he in the Shilpa Shastras or in the Shastras, they teach us how to carve the deity, and then you do prana pratishtha ceremony where you bring life into that stone. So Srila Prabhupada came here in 1973 and installed Radha Gokulananda. So when the pure devotee or qualified Brahmin comes and installs the deity, that deity is non-different from Krishna in the spiritual. It is Krishna himself, face to face. You are seeing Krishna face to face. But if you're not, different people will see different things. So someone will come and say, oh, that's just a stone. A neophyte will say, that's just stone. But a pure devotee will be able to interact. There is one devotee called Jivapati Prabhu. who used to sleep here in the 90s, I remember. He had a sleeping bag and he was the temple. He worshipped the deity every day for years. He would tell my friend Maharishi Prabhu, who's a close friend of mine, he said, Maharishi, these deities are dancing at night. They're dancing. Can you not see? They're dancing at night. If you go to Ireland, Inishraf Temple, there's Radha Govinda deities. And their padukas, their shoes, are missing in the morning. They're somewhere else. So some residents say that the doors are locked in the temple. There's only a few people living in the island. How are the shoes out of the temple room? So it's very mystical. There will be a point where you can see Krishna face to face and interact with Krishna, and that's what Prabhupada would do. You can interact. So to answer your question, it's Krishna's actually there. Yeah, it's non-different. It's unique because in our faith, we're the only ones who can present God face to face. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can do that. I'm not boasting, but they have a understanding, of basic understanding of God, but they don't know what he looks like. From our Vedic scriptures, we can tell you that's what he looks like. He's, free bending form with a flute, lotus eyes, Kamalaksha, black, like a raven, dark colored black hair, lotus feet, pinkish palms with signs on it. It's very specific. And he's bluish, like the Sham, the monsoon cloud.
Thanks, Prabhu. Thank
Hare Krishna.
Thanks.
Hare yeah. Krishna. Yes, Srinivas. Oh, there was, and then there's some ladies. And
You said in your class about the deity, but Srila Prabhupada was asked a question, how long did it take you to complete pure chanting? And Prabhupada said 40 years. So chanting is, but he says in the prayers of Rupa Goswami on the holy name, he says, holy name is more merciful than the deity form of the Lord. When you're doing deity worship, so many rules are there. In chanting, not that many rules are there. The only thing you have to avoid is sense gratification, offenses to the holy name. But you have to be serious about it. That's the only condition. Then the mercy will come very quickly.
Thank you. Anyone, there was a question? No? Yeah, that's true. When Prabhupada says that, when he took him that long, basically it was Janmashtami and he was in, I don't know if it was Delhi or Vrindavan, and he was chanting and then Krishna appeared to him, and Krishna had this garland with flowers which were not of that season. And then Prabhupada went down to bow down, and then Krishna put the garland on him and disappeared. And then Prabhupada is with a mridanga dancing and singing in ecstasy. And then one of the devotees came and said, Swamiji, what happened? What happened? He said, Krishna appeared, then he disappeared. So I think that was the point where Prabhupada is saying that he got to that point where he saw Krishna face to face, and which it calculates to be 35 or 40 years. It's in Prabhupada's memories. I forgot her name, but she speaks about that incident.
How can we differentiate between Chaitya Guru and our own mind?
Great question. When you the more you read Srila Prabhupada's books, the more you strengthen your intellect. Right? And the more you strengthen your intellect, the more you can control or subdue the mind, and the more you can determine, is this right, is this wrong, is this according to the scriptures. But when you get to a point where you're confused on that point, then you speak to people who are more advanced than you. And there are plenty. There are plenty of people who are more advanced. And they can reconfirm if that what you're thinking in your heart is actually coming from Krishna, or is it coming from your mind? So the way I do it is I speak to at least two or three people that I'm very friendly with, close with. They're more advanced than me. And I just say, look, this is what's happening. This is what I'm thinking. I don't know if it's coming from Krishna, if it's coming from my guru, but I need to just clarify. And we'll talk about it. We discuss it. And then they can, and if they all three unanimously say the same thing, then I know I'm in the right track. Generally.
Thank you.
Okay. Any? Okay. Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.